Well, thank you so much for a great worship service. If you've been with us for quite some time at First Fundamental Bible Church, you'll know that one of our legacies is the planting of churches, and we began that almost 40 years ago to establish other ministries. And 35 years ago, the Lord gave us an opportunity to begin a church in my hometown called Calexico. And we sent two couples out there to do ministry and to start a church there, and church was formed in Calexico. And tonight we have the privilege of hearing from the pastor of the church in Calexico. His name is Renee Gonzalez. But his wife is also here. Her name is Irene. Irene, could you stand? She's the better half. Okay. She's also my baby sister, so we welcome her to our church tonight. But Pastor Renee has been down there for 35 years ministering. He is a regular up here about this time of the year. We come to Shepherd's Conference, and part of that is him coming and taking this pulpit and sharing God's word with us. So tonight, let's welcome Pastor Renee Gonzalez.
I'm going to turn my mic on. Huh? All right, good evening. This is a new setup for me, so I don't know how to use this, but if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Joshua chapter 24. It's a blessing to be here. I'd love to come down here to L.A. I get to spend time with Brother Alex, and it's a great time. We go to that Shepherd's, and we hide in the gym. No, I'm just kidding. We hear everything that's going on. It's a blessing. I want you to keep praying for the First Fundamental Bible Church in Calexico. Calexico, that's the place to be, but not in the summer. We find ways to get away from Calexico in the summer. It gets to 126 degrees over there, kind of hot, but praise God, we're there. We've been there for 35 years. I've been ministering there for 35 years, but I was born and raised in Calexico, so been there a little over 40 years. I'll leave that one for your discretion, but anyway, let me read to you the Word of God. Let's all stand so we can read God's Word. Joshua chapter 24, and we'll begin in verse 14. The Word of God says, "Now therefore fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river, and in Egypt serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." What beautiful words, huh? "So the people answered and said, 'Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He is who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the ways that we went in and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, including the Amorites, who dwell in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for He is our God.' But Joshua said to the people, 'You cannot serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then He will turn and do you harm and consume you after He has done you good.' And the people said to Joshua, 'No, but we will serve the Lord.' So Joshua said to the people, 'You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord for yourselves to serve Him.' And they said, 'We are witnesses.' Now therefore," he said, "put away the foreign gods which are among you, and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve, and His voice we will obey." Let's pray. Lord, as we think about this, many of us need to look over our own hearts. Is Jehovah God, the God that we serve, is Jesus number one in our lives? Is there other gods in our lives that perhaps are taking priority? And they take so many different forms. And I pray that this evening, Lord, You would just use me to be a blessing to these Your people. God, we understand, I don't know what people need. I don't know the needs, but Lord, You do. So we ask You right now that first I would empty myself, You would fill me, and that every word that would come from my mouth would be from you and you alone. Lord, that you would have preeminence, that you would receive all the glory and the honor, and that, Holy Spirit, you would do a tremendous work in our lives. God, you know what we need, so please deal with our hearts. Show us what God do we serve. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Joshua was a great leader, as we all know. Of course, he took the place of Moses. He's about to go out. He's an older man now. He's been in charge of Israel for many years. He's the one that God used to give the possessions of the land of Canaan. So he's been faithful. He's directed the activities. He's like a father to the children of Israel. Everybody trusts him. But now God is going to call him to a higher calling, which is to go home. He's going to be taken away. But right before that, he utters these words that we have heard so many times. And if you have, some of you even have them at home from the home interiors. You have them at home on your walls. And the words that are so beautiful, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The people responded and they promised and they said, we're going to serve God. We're going to obey his voice. We're going to do what he tells us. So let me ask you something tonight. If you're truly born again, are you serving the Lord? Are you obeying his voice? Are you doing what he's telling you? We need to examine ourselves and ask ourselves, because whether we like it or not, whether we understand it or not, we serve some God. We serve some God. I wish we could say we're free creatures. We can do what we want. We think we can. But we know for a fact that someone or something rules over us. And my prayer this evening is that it would be God. Amen? And if it's not, that we would make him rule over us. That today we would surrender and say, you know, Lord, I don't want these foreign gods. I want the true God, and I want to serve him and obey his voice. That's what I pray for tonight, that that would happen to us. Amen? Will you pray with me? All right, I'll be preaching, you be praying. And then when we have the invitation, you start acting. We'll do something about it. So here's the thing we need to ask. I thought about this, and I thought, well, if we were to ask some real popular people or some known people, what God do you serve? I think if we have to ask Alexander the Great, what God do you serve? And he would tell us, I serve the God of military power. He was a leader. He conquered the whole known world. I am one, I believe in military power. God to me is power. It is military. It is just to dominate. And he did, folks. He was tremendous. So his God is very simple. The God of power. The God of military might. If you were to ask some philosophers, what God do you serve? They'll tell you, I serve the God of knowledge. The God of knowledge. I want to get deep into the things. I want to know more and more and more. I want to know more than anybody else. So their God was a God of science, a God of knowledge. If we were to ask Edison, what God do you serve? And he probably would have said, the God of invention. The God of invention, the God of science. He would be busy day and night trying to invent things, trying to find things. He wanted more and more of the kingdom of science. He wanted more and more. His God was science. If you were to ask an artist today, who's your God? And he would tell you, the God of beauty. The God of beauty. If you read the book of the Bible, when God describes to us heaven, he always describes us to us as beautiful. Beautiful. So that the artist, that's what it is. Scholars, who's their God? Wisdom, education. You ask men like King David, Moses, Paul, and they would say, the God that I serve is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Christ Almighty. Could we say that? Could we say that? Could we honestly say that? The God that existed before anyone. The God that created the heavens and the earth. The God that keeps everything running.
the Almighty God. That's who I serve. And all power and all majesty to Him. These men were great men of God. But let's get really personal here today. I don't know a whole lot of you, but that's all right. God does. If I was to ask you a question, the same question, what God do you serve? Because you serve a God. You serve a God. Now you can tell me right here and say to yourself, well, I serve Jehovah. Well, praise God if you do. But if you don't, there might be some problems. If you read this, what did he say? He told the people, you know, God is a jealous God. And if you're not serving me, I'm going to consume you. I mean, that's what the Word of God says. That's what he tells us. So I ask you, what God rules over your life? Some people serve the God of material things. They have more. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10 says, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. The love of money. You know, there's nothing wrong with making money. Make as much as you can. But do it honestly and use it rightly. There's nothing wrong with being rich. Be my friend if you're rich. Keep coming to church when you're rich. Amen? There's nothing wrong with being rich, but don't let those things control you. Don't let it take over. And it can. It can. Look at these people that have become rich. Look at how weird they become. I'll never forget reading the story of George Eastman, the one that made Kodiak. He went to his doctor and he tells his doctor, where's my heart? His doctor tells him, it's right there. He says, I want you to get a pin and I want you to mark exactly where my heart's at. And he took his shirt off and he marked it. And he went home and he sat in his big office and he took a gun and he put the barrel right there in the spot and killed himself. Rich. Rich. It was his God. Don't let that be your God. Don't let the material things be your God. Let the God of the Bible be your God. Let Him take over your life. I don't have no problem with, you know, making as much as you can. Working. But don't forget about God. Don't get to the point. Remember before, how many businesses were closed on Sunday? What's happened? What's happened? We've lost that. To a lot of people, Sunday's the time that they make more money. So they don't come to church. They don't come to Sunday school. They're not learning. Why? The big bucks, material things. Material things. They think that's going to make a difference. There's a business over there in Calexico. He has 7 restaurants. 7 restaurants. He's a Christian. I was talking to him. He told me, you know, brother, I don't open on Sundays because I go to church. And his business is soaring. God takes care of his people. When we give him what's his, he'll take care of us. So I ask you, who's your God? What God do you serve? Is it material things? You know, there's nothing wrong with making money, folks. I'm not against that. Without money, you can't build a church. Without money, you can't send out the gospel and the preaching of the gospel. So we need money. But the thing is your money controlling your life? Is your material things controlling your life? And you know people that today, they don't have time for God. They don't have time for anything but money. They're mad with money. They're crazy with it. They don't know what to do. I remember reading the story of a man was dying and he was in bed and he kept keeping his hand underneath his bed. And his wife would come and pull his arm and he'd fight it and put it back. Finally, when he passed away, they went out there and they moved the mattress where he was laying and there was a pile of money. And he just kept holding on to it. Wow. We know what God he served, huh? What about you? What about you? Examine yourself. Is Am I serving the God of material things?
Here's another one. Some people serve the God of pleasure.
Woo!
Pleasure. If there is a land that's pleasure mad, that's America. We are pleasure mad. That's all we seek out. Everything caters to the satisfaction of our senses. That's all we want. That's what we want. And we keep looking for it. And pleasure and pleasure and pleasure. And we're willing to put up everything on the line for pleasure. And that's the God that we serve. You look at some of the things that, if some of you saw the Super Bowl, and you're Denver fans, sorry. They say that 30 seconds of a commercial during the Super Bowl is over $1 million. Did you see the commercials? No, I was at church. Yeah, okay. Did you see the commercials, guys? They're all booze. Bud Light galore. Tebow was on it 2 or 3 times. Commercials, big time money, pleasure, pleasure. They serve the God of pleasure and pleasure and pleasure. That's all they want. That's what many people are looking for today. You know why there's a lot of people not at church today? Pleasure. They're out for pleasure. That's their God. Fun, pleasure. That's what I want. I read of a little town. It had a factory. And they used to manufacture artificial flowers. And a lot of people worked there. And they enjoyed the work. The wages were good. The work was pleasant. The bosses were okay. But something started to happen. A young lady got sick. And she died. So they wanted to figure out what happened. And then later on, another young lady got sick and she died. Then a young man got sick and died. So they said, we better check this out. What's going on? Well, they did an investigation and they found out that the artificial flowers, what they would put on the flowers, it was a certain powder that would spread. And the people, as you'd breathe it in, it was killing them. So they had to stop it. That's just like pleasure. It starts off so good and then it gets you. Doesn't it? It does, little by little by little. Remember talking to a secretary that we had when I worked in the immigration service, and she was a real sophisticated lady, and she told me she used to smoke, and I tell her, well, why do you smoke? It's not good to smoke. She goes, but I put filters and all that. She had a cigarette about that big with a filter and all that. I guess it stopped her. It cleaned it up. But she would smoke and smoke. Then one day, she didn't come to work for a long time. So I was inquiring about her, and I found out that she got cancer in the tongue. In the tongue. But she wouldn't put out that cigarette. Something else. The satisfaction sometimes of pleasures are deadly. Amen? Some of us have gotten into pleasure. And we're paying for it. Even now. Some of us, well, I'm born again, I'm a Christian. So, you know, things have changed. But how did you live before? And sometimes we're still paying dearly for those pleasures of yesterday. So you ask yourself, very plainly, folks, do I serve the God of pleasure? I can't answer that for you. It's between you and God, between you and the Lord. Now, don't get me wrong, folks. Pleasures have their place in life, but pleasure should never be your God. You shouldn't live for that. There's nothing wrong with having a good time. Nothing wrong with it. But when it starts taking away from your relationship with God, you got a problem. Amen? You got a problem. Some people serve the God of appetite. You know, a lot of us quit eating a lot of foods because the doctor told us to. They told me, you better quit eating quick. All that stuff you're eating is going to kill you. That menudo is no good. Wow. You know, Chicanos, you got to have menudo, breakfast of champions, man. What is this stuff, you know? Got to have it. A lot of times, guys, appetite, little things that we want to do. I'll never forget one time, this is many years ago, I was in the desert with some friends of mine, or I thought they were friends at the time. And I remember I was out in the desert, and I asked them for a soda. Never forget this. And I asked them for a soda, and this guy says, you know what, Renee, I got this brand new cup. And this cup is for when you're four-wheeling and nothing will spill out. It has a little button, and you hit the button, and it opens up, and you can drink out of it. And I said, good. And he goes, I got a 7-Up. Let me give you a 7-Up. And I said, all right. So he fills it up, and I'm sitting there, and they're all staring at me, and they give me the cup, and I grab it, and I pop it open. I see a bunch of foam in there. So I opened it up, and it was beer. And I look at these guys, and I said, did I ask you for beer? Well, what's wrong with one? What's wrong with one? So I got it, and I threw it away. They got mad. Ah, don't be throwing it away. It cost me too much. Well, shut up, you know. But think about this, folks. Think about it. You start off on pleasure and appetite. Where's it going to end? You know, they say preachers have certain sins that they hate. I hate booze. I do. I've seen it cause so many problems. I've buried friends and relatives because of booze. And I hate it. I hate it. Brother Alex went down to Calexico and they asked him to preach one time. And he got up there, and he's probably still the same today. He got up there and he used to call beer Satan's urine. So he said that in one of the services. He said that. So I saw this one guy and he says, I said, where are you going? He says, well, I'm going to go have a beer, so I might as well go to the bathroom. I mean, joking about this. Joking about it. But the God of appetite, the God of, you know, what does it do? Ruins your health, ruins the family, ruins your business, ruins your self-respect. And finally, it probably bars you from heaven. That's the pleasure of appetite. Or that's the sin and the God of appetite. It's devastating. We've all seen friends of ours. I'll never forget a friend of mine. We were raised together down in Calexico. We went to school and everything. Well, I got a phone call from his mother, and his mother says to me, you know, Renee, I want you to go look for my son. He's got into alcohol, and he doesn't know how to stop. So I went to look for him, and they told me where he was at, and I went to this house. It was abandoned. And the guy was living on the floor, drinking. He was alcoholic, just thrown on the floor there. He couldn't even control himself. He smelled. I remember I picked him up and I said, I'm going to take you home. I took him home. His mom, he was the only boy in his family. His mom babied him and took care of him and tried to bring him back. A couple of months went by, I get another phone call, and his mom says to me, come down here to the hospital. I went to the hospital. This guy's laying there in the hospital, intensive care. He has hoses all over through his nose and everything. And the lady says, you know, he's dying because of alcohol. Well, he didn't die. And I was able to share with him the gospel. And he prayed with me to receive Christ. So I was all excited. Amen. And I told him, you know, bro, why don't we do this? When you get out of here, come to church. All right. 6 months went by and never heard from him again. I called his mom. His mom tells me, oh, he's back to the old stuff. I went to see him. I get to his house and I'm talking to him. And I told him, Flavio, I said, remember that promise you made me that you'd go to church? You know what he told me? At the point of death, you'll say anything. At the point of death, you'll say anything. This guy was just completely controlled by the God of appetite. But later on, I get a phone call. He's on a breathing mechanism. His mom comes to me and she tells me, Renee, should I take my shoe? I said, you know, don't ask me that. That's between you and your family. I have nothing to say there. Well, they took the machine off and he died. He passed away. Good friend of mine. And he started little by little. And he became an alcoholic. And soon a drunk. And he lost it all. Lost it all. What God did he serve? The serve of appetite. He served the God of appetite. How about the God of health?
We're into that, huh? How many like go to the gym? Okay, sorry. All right, I won't ask no more. Okay. How many of us are thinking of counting our calories even? Okay, one back there. All right, good. Nobody here is doing that? You know, watching what we're eating and stuff like that where, you know, you can't eat this. They gave me a nutritionist. I guess I've been in the hospital so much. They gave me a nutritionist, and she calls me on the phone, and she's talking to me, and she says, "Well, Renee, what do you eat for breakfast?" And I said, "Well, I have Honey Nut Cheerios. They promise to lower my cholesterol. And I get soy milk, and I put it in there." And she says to me, "Junk." She goes, "You got to change that." Oh, man. And then she says, "What do you have for lunch?" I said, "A piece of chicken. Breast chicken and white rice." She goes, "That's nothing but sugar." Whoa. "Well, what do you have for dinner?" "Well, I go home and I have popcorn." She goes, "You might as well have a steak." So she's just, everything I told her, it was bad. It was bad for me. So I'm trying to do this and trying to, getting all bummed out. Trying to stay on a diet, it's tough, isn't it? Amen? Come on, follow me here. I mean, it's rough, guys, you know. I go with my wife and I sit down. We're at a restaurant. I see a guy coming. He's a biscuit short of 400 pounds, and he gets a piece of steak like that. And I say, "Look at this guy." And I can't even eat that. It gets to you, doesn't it? And then to hear this lady tell me, "Everything you're eating is bad." Wow. But you know, the health, and I'm not against it, folks. I try running. I run 3 times a week. I go to the gym 2 times a week. I go to the gym, and I was working out with one of the partners there. He's talking to me, and I told him, "Hey, you know, I'm looking for the 10-pound weights." He said, "It's over there with women." "Hey, thank you, thank you." You know, these guys have got like 80-pounders, and I'm 10 pounds. There was a guy standing next to me, huge. This guy is huge. He had a doing his triceps. He had 100 pounds dumbbells. And I'm looking at him. Man, I was going, man, how's this guy going to do that? How's he going to pick it up? And he, like nothing. Guy's about 6'4", huge. It's interesting, health. You know, I hear this so often. People at church, they come to me and they say, "You know, Pastor, I work 7 days a week. I work hard. Man, I need the weekends off. I need to go and cruise. I need to be in the outdoors. I need to go in my RV. I need to go kick back. I need some time off." So instead of being at church, they're at the golf course. Instead of them being at church, they're playing tennis. I don't have anything against health, folks. But don't let it become your God. Don't let it control you. And you know, these gods can take all kinds of forms, huh? Not just certain ones. Some of us are sitting here and, "Oh, I hope he doesn't touch on my God." I may not. I may not talk about your God, but you know what it is. Amen? Come on. Isn't that right? You know what it is. Don't play it. Or as we say in Mexicali, no la juegues. We know what's going on. All of us do. We know exactly what's taking place in our lives. Some people serve the God of home and family. And I believe with all my heart that family is the number one thing in your life. I made some big mistakes when I started 35 years ago. And I'm not going to pass the buck to Brother Alex or anything like that. I've tried, but it doesn't work. But I had my idea, my priorities were wrong. I thought that to me, God was first and the church was second. And everything else fell into place. It cost me a lot. It cost me a lot. It cost me a son that's no longer with us. It hurt. But now I've learned, praise God, and I see things so different. But sometimes, guys, families are so important. The home is so important. Very important. But sometimes, even those things get messed up, don't they? Even those things do. Sometimes we put family before God. Sometimes we put, or especially us Hispanic Chicanos, la abuelita, la nana. You got to really pay attention to her. Man, but if it's wrong, it's wrong. We need to understand this. The most important things are life. Yes, family is important. Yes, the home is important. But our God is important. Amen? He's important. How about the God of society? Oof, society. You know, folks, we're creatures. None of us like to be hermits. Who would like to be a hermit here? Living all by yourself, recluse in some corner. Nobody likes that. Nobody wants to be that. We're not made that way. We're made to be social creatures. That's the way God made us. We were just over there at the shepherds, and Dr. MacArthur gave a good study, 6 points, on fellowship. Great study. He did a tremendous job. But social life, a lot of times, you know, it starts to control us. These old sayings, to keep up with the Joneses, to have what the Joneses have, to have this and that. You know, these young couples get married today and they want to have what their parents have that have been married 50 years. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. You're going to be broken. You're going to be in hock up to your neck. But they don't get that. They don't get that. And it goes on and on and on. So I'll tell you, there's a whole lot of gods. A whole lot of gods. And like I say, a lot of times we go to church and because they don't mention my particular sin, I'm free. But guys, you know what it is. What is, what God are you serving? I mentioned a couple of them. What God are you serving? Only you can answer that. But I just want to turn this thing around and then we'll be done. Why should we serve the real God of heaven? What are the benefits of serving God Almighty? What are the benefits? What are the benefits? Number one, He is the true God. He is the true God. And we're supposed to worship Him, and He deserves our service. Guys, when you think of what He's done for us, He saved our souls. One day He's going to take us, present us perfect before God the Father. And we're going to spend eternity with Him face to face. Doesn't that fire you up? Doesn't that excite you a little? Yeah, sounds like it. Doesn't it? Amen or something? Yeah, sure, all right. Guys, think about this. Think about all that God does for us. How He takes care of us day after day after day. He's a loving God, a good God, a great God. He took us out of the miry clay and He put us upon the rock. He saved our souls. And that's worth everything. He is so good to us. Does He deserve our service? Does He deserve our time? Does He deserve our effort? And our concern? He sure does. He's the master. He's the one in charge. He tells us, you're not your own. I bought you with a price. We're saved, folks. It's exciting. I go down to, I got a little ministry that Rena and I, that we go down to Nicaragua, to Managua, and then we go to this little island. And we get to serve over there. What a pleasure it is. It's a blessing to go there. The churches aren't big. They're probably as big as this little place here. But there's 22 churches. We go out there. I get to sit down from 8 o'clock in the morning. I told these guys, you know, I have a big study. So let me give you 5 classes a day. And tomorrow we'll do another 5. And they said, no, hermano, no. Do them all today. I went from 8 o'clock in the morning to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and they were staying, still wanted more. They want the Word of God. It's beautiful when you look at that. And God says, you know what? This is the God that we serve. We should be excited about it. We should be kicking our heels and moving on for God. Because He is the true God. Every blessing along the way, He takes care of us. Everyone. God is so good to us. His mercies are new every morning. Is he worthy of service? Do you serve him? Do you serve him? Or do you serve other gods? He's the true God. We should serve the Lord because his service is satisfying. Nothing fills us, folks, like serving the God with all our hearts. I have 35 years in Calexico. It's a long time. But you know what, folks? It's like this. It's gone. I mean, we have a building over there. It's paid for. I was just telling Alex that our pavement was all ripped up. It was all nasty. If a kid fell, he had to go to emergency surgery because it was so tore up, everything. We got to praying. The deacons said, you know, we don't have a whole lot of money. A friend, they were doing a parking lot next to us. I went and talked to him, and I said, hey, can you go look at our place? And he goes, yeah. So he went and looked at our place, and he goes, man, this place is thrashed. I told him, yeah, that's why I'm calling you. So the guy's talking to me and everything. He says, you know what, Renee, if you can get somebody some other work, I can do it cheaper. I said, all right. So I got this friend of mine that has a restaurant, and we talked to him and stuff. So the guy tells me, I'll tell you what I'll do. If you can pay me cash, I'll do it for $12,000, the whole thing. And praise God, we paved all our driveways and everything at church. God's good. God satisfies. Our sign was tweaked. It would blink. The side of it would blink. And the other, on top, it was off, no lights. Ew, man. It looked bad. You'd go to a church and you'd be like that because the thing is blinking and stuff. Talked to a friend of mine. He says, I got a friend that does signs. Guy comes and talks to me. He tells me, yeah, we can do this. Our sign has First Fundamental Bible Church, then it has three crosses. The only cross that's lit is the middle one. So he says, I can make it really look good. I can put neon blue all around the other crosses, and the middle one, I'll put red. I said, all right, how much is all this? Give me $3,000, Renee, we'll do it. You should see our sign, guys. You could drive, if you ever drive down the Calexico, you can't miss that thing. Just stands out. Blue crosses and a big red one. And God takes care of business, doesn't he? God takes care of it. His service is so satisfying, so fulfilling. I'm happy to serve the Lord. Are you? A couple of people are. Amen. It's great to serve the Lord. It is. It's great to serve the Lord. So I ask you this. If you're not serving the Lord, then apparently you can't say that you're happy. You can't say you're satisfied. But you can do it, folks. He's good. He takes care of us. Here's another reason why we should serve the Lord and why it's good to serve the Lord. Because it has no bad after effects. All these other things, all these other pleasures and all these other sins, they hurt. They do. Side effects. They got me on a regimen of medication. I take this and that, and you gotta take this pill, and you gotta take that. Oh, you gotta stent, so you gotta take this, you gotta take blood thinners, you gotta take that. I'm out there trying to cut the roses and I'm bleeding everywhere. I'm trying to get off these medicines. I'm trying to get off all these medicines, and I'm just taking so many. I took one and all of a sudden I got a cough. And they told me, oh, yeah, I know what that one is, Renee, you gotta change your medicine. Then I take another one and you're dead tired. Man, so it fixes one thing and it ruins 10 other things. But you got to take them. Well, in Christ, folks, there's no side effects. Isn't that great? I mean, serving the Lord, it's great. A good time. I've made some good friends in ministry. Got a friend down there in Nicaragua. His name is Mardoqueo, Mordecai. Mardoqueo, good buddy. Made some good friends in Christ. And it's worth it all to serve the Lord. So what God do you serve? Does your God that you serve, does he have side effects? Is he causing problems in your life? There's nothing like serving the Lord. It's great to serve the Lord. The fact that he loves us so much and he cares for us and he takes care of us all the time. He does that for us. We should serve the Lord because our influence is greater by serving the Lord. Down there in Calexico, it's not a big city. But when they know you're a preacher there, people think twice about it. And there's nothing like it. Great influence. The influence is great. I go out there. I was called. Irene and I were called to go to this midwinter fair. We have that once a year. They called us so we can go and hand out little tracts on the child evangelism. And we go do that. We were there handing out tracts. A young man came by, him and his wife. They walked by, and he stops, and he goes, "Oh, this is a Christian group." And I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "Oh, man," he says, "I just got off heroin last month. I've been going to church, and God is so good to me." And I said, "Come on in here. Let's hear a little story." So we went in there, and he starts telling him he was so full of joy. We were all sitting there. We forgot about the kids. And we just listened to this guy as he's telling us how God has blessed him, how he's going to church and God is changing his life, how his family is getting closer to the Lord and everything is starting to change. He goes, "Man, now I look up to life and it's worth living." Exciting time. Isn't it great to be around new Christians? It's when you get around those old guys that cause problems. It's exciting, man, the influence. Think of that. All those people you get to meet and you get to influence because of your Christian life. It's great. We should serve the Lord because of the results. Oh, man. Think of this. All these worldly endeavors we tried. Where'd they get us? Where'd they get us? I'll never forget. I was working for the Immigration Service and I felt the call of God to go to Calexico. So I filled out this application of resignation and I took it to my boss and he took it to the district director. So he calls me on the phone and he says, "Renee, I'd like to talk to you." So I go up there to him. I went into his office. Never been there before. I go into his office. He stands there. He says, "Sit down." So I sat down. He says to me, "So you're going to resign?" I told him, "Yeah, I'm going to go start a church over there in Calexico." He says, "Really?" He goes, "You know, I don't do this too often. But I can give you a leave of absence. I can for 1 year not fill your spot. And if you don't like it out there or some problems, you can come back and you can have your job back. Same pay, same everything." I thought, wow, I don't do this often. But I like you, Renee. So I'm going to do that for you. I was excited. Got into the car, drove down to the Gage facility. Brother Alex was there. And I come in with this great news to tell him, "Guess what? I can go, and if I don't make it, I can come back." Never forget the little brick wall, and there was a red Thunderbird parked there. And Alex was leaning against the Thunderbird. And I said, "I need to talk to you, bro." And he says, "All right." I told him, "This is what my boss told me, that he'll give me a year off." Alex sits there and looks at me. And I'm looking at him and I'm saying, "Come on, say something." You know, and he doesn't say anything and I'm listening. And I'm all excited, "Man, a year off. You know, I can, if I don't like it over there, I can come back and they're going to give me my job. So everything is great." He says to me, "Didn't you major in history?" I'm thinking, "What? What does history have to do with this?" He says, "Remember Hernan Cortes?" "Yeah. What did he do when he got to Mexico?" "Well, he burned his ships." "Why?" "Because he felt like burning the ships. I don't know. He burned the ships." He says, "Because then he told his soldiers, conquer or die." And he walked off. I'm kind of, what? My chica, ¿qué onda? Took me a while to realize it. I was a little dense there. But if I would have went in ministry 35 years ago, and if it would have got tough, guess what I have done? I would have come back. So I remember going home at night, praying, crying. Serious, folks. I used to cry because I didn't want to go to Calexico. I didn't want to go. I would love my job. I was great in places. If I went to Calexico, I wanted to go and take the port of entry over. That's what I wanted. But God had another thought in mind. So I went back to my boss and I told my boss, nope, I'm resigning. I'm getting out. 35 years ago. Still at it. And love it. And love it. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to serve the Lord. It's just so much better. Yeah, I could have done something else. But there's nothing like serving the Lord. Oh, there's... Don't get me wrong. I've wanted to quit a lot of times. I wanted to quit. But God has kept me there. And the service is great. And the results are beautiful. I love it. My wife and I were probably the closest we've ever been. Have a great time together. We go to Nicaragua. We go to Mexicali. There's 16, 17 pastors that I preached. I teach every Monday and she teaches the wives. Have a great time over there. Lovely time. Great time. Serving the Lord. Man, serving the Lord, the rewards are great. Amen? Isn't it good? What does the world give you? Headaches, problems, side effects, Crestor, all that stuff. It's all it gives you. But not the Lord. Man, there's joy in serving the Lord. Beautiful serving the Lord. Love it. All these memories, all these things I can think about. You know, it's interesting how the devil, his people aren't happy. They pretend they are. But God's people should be happy. Amen? Shouldn't there be a big old smile on us today, even though it's Wednesday? There should be a big smile. Why? Because we have the great privilege and the distinct honor of serving God Jehovah. And there's no side effects. And the service has great rewards. And the glory of the end. Can you imagine when you finally get there and you hear those beautiful words, well done, good and faithful servant. Can't wait for those words. Well done, good and faithful servant. It doesn't say good and money-giving servant. It doesn't say a good and faithful servant. That's what counts. Can you imagine those people that aren't going to make it? Those people that aren't going to make it? You all know where that place is, right? We believe in a hell. In a place that people are separated from God. But when we go to heaven, folks, great time with the Lord. Beautiful time with God. I don't know about you folks, but serving the Lord to me is the best way to go. There's no other way to go at it. It's wonderful. So I ask you, what God do you serve? Be honest today. Let me read to you a story that I find to be so interesting. A wealthy couple lost a dear little 7-year-old girl whom they loved very much. The mother's heart was broken and her health began to fail. The doctor gave her the best medicine. She went to a famous psychiatrist and her husband took her on a trip to Europe. But she never gotten any better. Finally, the good doctor said, she will never be cured with medicine. You should go to an orphanage, pick out a child, and let her lavish her with affection. Her husband persuaded her to do this. So they went to the orphanage, and the superintendent allowed them to see 5 little girls. All of them were 7 years of age and blonde like her little girl that they had lost. She selected one who she liked and requested that she be left alone with her. When the others had left, she stood the little girl on the piano stool and began to talk to her. She said, I had a little girl like you, and I loved her very much. but she died several months ago. Will you take her place?" The little girl bowed her head and did not know what to say. Then the lady said, "Darling, we will have a governess to look after you. You will even get a pony. We will take you anywhere you want to go, on trains or planes or ships. Won't you come?" The woman felt that she had been defeated, for the little girl was silent. Finally, she said to the lady, "If you do all these things for me, what will I have to do for you?" In a moment, the lady tells the little girl, with her in her arms, "Darling, all you have to do is love me. All you have to do is love me." And they took her home. They took her home. Isn't that what God's asking us? All you have to do is love me, and I'll take care of you. I'll watch over you. I'll give you what you need. When you're going through suffering, I'm there. When the times get tough, I'm there. When you cry out, man, I'll be the one that stops those tears. I'll be the one that comforts you. I'll be the one that loves you. I'll be the one that caresses you and holds you through the tough times. All I want is for you to love me. Because God knows that if He has your heart, He has your service. Amen? So I ask you, does God have your heart? Does He? Is God real? Now, what I mean by real is, do you serve Him? Is He the one you live for? Have you forsaken all others? That's what Joshua asked them. The God's on that side. The God's on that side. They didn't do nothing for you. But the God, Jehovah Almighty, He can take care of you. Will you give Him your love? Will you give Him your heart? Will you give Him your mind? Will you give Him your soul tonight? Is God your God? I ask you. And only you can answer that. Nobody else can. I can't answer it for you. Brother Alex can't answer it for you. It's between you and your God. And you know where you stand today. You know where you're at. You can buffalo me and tell me, "Oh yeah, I love God." But you know in your heart if you do. Is He number one? Is He the God that you serve? I ask you. Let's pray. Let's close our eyes. Let's bow our heads. I ask you very pointedly today, tonight, are you willing to forsake all other gods? Now folks, I don't want to embarrass anybody. Nobody at all here do I want to embarrass. I'd like you to close your eyes and bow your heads. And you know, I got this portable mic, so that means I can move. And if I go and see your eyes open, I can poke them. So please listen to me. Close your eyes, bow your heads, and I ask you, do you love God with all your heart? Do you serve Him? Is He your God? Are you willing to forsake all other gods? As for me and my house, Joshua said, I'm going to serve the Lord. Can you say that? Can you say that? Perhaps you're here tonight. You can't say that. Perhaps there's a God that's just in the way. But you say, "Brother, I'm willing to forsake that God. And I want God Jehovah to be number one." I do. I'll forsake all of the gods for God, for Jehovah. I'll do that. And I'll do that tonight. Anybody like that here tonight? Can I just see your hand, please? Just slide your hand up. Anybody else? Don't be embarrassed. Slide your hand up. God knows your heart. Okay, now I'm going to do something. You just put your hand up, but I don't want to embarrass anybody. Why don't you just come out of your seats, come up here to the front, and tell the Lord that. Just come up here out of your seat. You put your hand up. God already knows it. You know it. Come on up here. Get down there on your knees and just give your heart to God. Forsake those things. Come on up. Come on. God knows it. You know it. Just go ahead and talk to the Lord. Give it all to Him. Lord, You become number one. I want to serve You with my whole heart, with all my mind, with all my heart. I want to do it. There's been gods that have been getting in my way. And I know it's wrong, Lord. I know it. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Perhaps you're seated here tonight. You say, you know, Brother Renee, I should be up there on my knees. But there's something that's holding me back. There's a sin that's holding me back from coming forward. Will you pray for me? Could I just see your hand? You slide your hand. Something hinders me from going forward. Just slide your hand up so we can pray for you. Amen. Amen. Good. All right. Anybody else? Just slide your hand up. And if you prayed to the Lord and you've given your heart to Him and you're going to put Him first in your life, it's the time to do it. And after you've done that, you can have your seat. Our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed. Just talk to God. Talk to the Lord. As for me and my house, God promises us good. Promises to take care of us. Amen. He's so good to us. Let's pray. Lord, You know our hearts. You know where we falter. You know where we come short of Your glory. Lord, You know us well. So this evening, Lord, as we've made some commitments to You, I pray that we would discipline ourselves, that this follow through, that this would not just be a feeling or an emotion, but that it would be a truth in us. That, Lord, You're worthy of praise, You're worthy of honor, You're worthy of service. Thank You, Lord, for the opportunity, for the great opportunity to come here and preach at this church. And again, Lord, may all the glory and honor be to You and You alone. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, thank you, Pastor Rene Gonzalez, once again for sharing the message with us. God is good. And tonight we've had a chance to reflect upon making sure we serve the only and true God. God has been good to us. Once again, let's thank Pastor Renee for being with us. God bless you. We're dismissed. Have a wonderful, wonderful week.